an old chicken. Getting ready to lay her last egg, she thought. And she went to the head rooster for advice. And she said to him, "You know, it looks like this is probably going to be my last one. I'm going to lay my last egg." Yeah, he said, "I'd heard that." And he said, "Why did you come and talk to me?" And she said, "Well, I don't want it to just be an ordinary occasion." She said, I would like it to be something real special." And he said, "Well, Miss Chicken," he said, "what did you have in mind?" And she said, "I would like to lay my last egg right in the middle of 412 Highway. And I just wonder if you have any advice for me." The old rooster thought for a little while. "Yes," he said, "Miss Chicken, I think I have some advice for you." She said, "What is it? I'm ready for it." He said, "You better lay it on the line. You better do it fast." "So what would you do if you was getting ready to lay your last egg? Would you lay it on the line and do it fast? I've got lots of support here today. Family members and brothers and sisters and my kids. And grandkids and great-grandkids, I'd like to quit about every Sunday. Got a good, thank you for coming and being a part of this. And we really do want you to stay and have lunch with us. And there's going to be a lot to eat. And I know it'll be good stuff, and so you stay with us. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, the 10th chapter. The book of Romans, the 10th chapter. And if I could give this message a title, I would call it The Doctrine of Salvation. So if you have found that, say amen, and then stand up. Romans 10, and verse 9, and verse 10, and verse 13. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Then move down to verse 13. And it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can be seated. As a church, our job is not to have a service, even though that's what we do every Sunday. That's not the bottom line. Bottom line is not to have preaching, praying, and singing, even though that's what we do, and I'm all for it. The bottom line is that we are to take as many folks with us as we possibly can. If we believe the Scripture, if we believe that the Bible is true, and I believe it's true. Do you believe it's true? There's one or two ways you can get an amen. Sometimes just point at people and they say, amen. And sometimes you get people to agree with you and they'll say amen. But I believe it's true from cover to cover. I do not believe that it has changed, do you? I don't believe that God has changed His mind about what's right and what is wrong and what is acceptable for society and what is not acceptable for society. The book tells us all that there is to know, all that we need to know, and it is the truth and it comes from God. It's ordained from God. It is God-breathed. It is God's Word, and it has not changed. God said, I'm the same. I change not. And it has not changed. Whatever society decides, the Bible still has not changed. And in Romans, the 10th chapter, and in this 10th verse, it tells us what it takes for the doctrine of salvation to take place. And it says, first of all, it says that every person is a sinner. All have sinned. All have sinned. It didn't say some have and some have not. I'm going to get to preaching here, but listen, if you're an admirer of Joyce Myers, I'm getting ready to bust your bubble. I heard her say this week that she did not sin. She did. Well, I don't know what the mirror looks like in her house, but the one in mine points right back at me and it shows me my image. And it's the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that I'm a sinner and you're a sinner and everybody in this house is a sinner. Every person has sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if my hand represented the glory of God, and I have to be at this point here in order to go to heaven, the Bible says that I've sinned. Brother Jeff, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so something has to happen in my life that would bring me from this point here to this point here. So what is it? God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to die for my sin. He died on the cross to forgive me of my sin. In the third chapter of the book of John, when Nicodemus came to Jesus that night, he said, how is it that I can see the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, there's just one way. It's not this way over here or this way over here. There's just one way. Matter of fact, in the 14th chapter, when He was talking to the disciples, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be, help me folks, born again. You know, He didn't say, do your best. He didn't say, be a good daddy, be a good son, take care of your wife and children, do your best. He didn't say that. He said, you must be born again. Now, folks, listen to me. Dale Moody said that all we would have to do in order to make our church evangelistic is swing them out over hell just for 1 second, and they would become evangelistic. The Bible says that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus Let him put the tip of his finger in some water and touch it to my tongue, because I'm tormented in these flames. I'm not making this up. It's what the Bible says. And Abraham said to the rich man, there's a great gulf fixed between you and me. And those that are there cannot come here, and those that are here cannot go there. There is no such place as purgatory. There is no such place as purgatory where some of your relatives can pay enough money to the priest to get you prayed out of that place and into heaven. The Bible doesn't teach anything like that. It doesn't take place. Folks, when this life is over, it's over. We have come to the end. And then we'll stand in judgment before the real judge. Now, whatever your theology is on going to heaven, there's not but one that you can have, and it's the one that the Bible teaches. So how is the church to get this message out? How do we get it out? Angel Martinez said that if I have to stand on the street corner and beat a tub with a stick, and people come along and ask me why I'm beating that tub with a stick, I'd tell them, because when you got here, I was going to tell you about Jesus. And whatever we have to do in order to get folks to hear the message, I'm for us doing it, as long as it doesn't go against what the Bible teaches. If we have an Awana program and take those vans and go to these houses and pick up these kids that would not have any other opportunity to hear the gospel, and you sit in one of those classrooms and you teach those children about Jesus, you fulfill what God has called you to do. And we're taking more with us. If we have to have a summer camp and bring them here and cook for them and do whatever it takes to get them here, carry them, invite them, urge them to come, and they come and they receive Christ as their Savior, it's one more in heaven. It's one less in hell. It's what the church's job is. If all you're doing is just meeting for the sake of meeting, you're not accomplishing what God has set us here to do. Folks, listen, I'm going to say what God's called me to say. This is my last time. What are you going to do for me? God did not call you to warm a pew. I mean, think about it. Think about it. What has He called you to? He's given you the talent that He has given you to add more people to heaven's count. Why else would he give you that talent? Why else? What in the world is our purpose if it's not to take more people with us to heaven? Our purpose is to win the lost and then to edify the saved whenever they get here, teach them about Jesus, teach them how to teach other people about Jesus. Teach them the Word, and don't apologize for the Word. Say, this is what it says. I'm not apologizing for it. It's what the Word says. And people will scorn you and make fun of you. And they'll say, you know, it's not what society thinks. Society's on their road to hell. And the church is to be there to try to get them stopped. Turn them in the other direction. So, we got to have some strategy. First of all, we need to recognize the problem. We've come to a place in our society that does not recognize the problem. They think that people, that there are several ways to heaven, and Doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist or a Hindu, a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. That there are several roads to heaven, and that all roads lead to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say you had to be baptized. Brother Mark, he didn't say you had to be baptized to be saved, did he? He said you had to be born again in order to be saved. I'm for it, by the way. I'm for baptism. I baptize them all the time. I've baptized over 500 since I've been here. I'm for it. I'm for it. It's what the Bible teaches. People are to be saved and then follow the Lord in believers' baptism. But it's not what saves you. Being born again is what saves you. So we recognize the problem. Look at Ephesians, the second chapter, and look at verse 12. Ephesians 2. And look at verse 12. That at that time, the King James says, ye, it's talking about you, me, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. Look at this. What is that next little phrase? Having no hope. And without God in the world. That's where the lost are at. No hope. No hope. A preacher met a woman at the post office. He is handing out tracts. She told him, there's lots of roads to heaven. Just because you pastor the Baptist church doesn't mean that... You know the only way to heaven, there's lots of roads to heaven. And she began to explain it to him. She told him, she said, if I go down here to 2nd Street, come up Main Street, come up to the post office, all roads lead to the post office. If I go down here on Maple, come up, hit 2nd Street, come on over to Main, comes up to the post office. She gave him several examples. She could be anywhere in town and get him to the post office. All roads. He said, lady, that'd be true if I wanted to go to the post office when I die, but that's not where I want to go. I want to go to heaven. And all roads do not lead to heaven. People are without hope. And people, even that think they have hope and that they have found it, many of them are without hope and they don't realize they're without hope. So the problem is that men and women and boys and girls are lost and without hope without Jesus. Secondly, we need to realize that the fields are white unto harvest. Look with me over in John's Gospel, the 4th chapter. John, the 4th chapter. Now, you remember what's taking place in the 4th chapter of John? Jesus has met the woman at the well. Unlikely prospect, wouldn't you think? The disciples had gone into McDonald's to get burgers and bring them back, and Jesus rested on the well of Samaria, Jacob's well, 100 foot deep, without a rope or anything to draw water with. And here come a woman that had been married five times, and the man she was living with now, she wasn't married to. And when Jesus said, go call your husband, she said, I have no husband. He said, well, you spoke right there. You don't have a husband. You're living with a man, but he's not your husband. But you've had five husbands before him. Unlikely prospect, perhaps, in our eyes, but a great prospect in Jesus' eyes. She is without hope. She was She needed Jesus. Look at verse 35. Now, what had happened is that, make a long story short, she was convinced he was the Messiah. She went back and told the rest of the town, and the rest of the town, she said, come and see a man that's told me everything I've ever done. Here they come. Look at verse 35. 4 and verse 35. Say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already at harvest. Let's see, I was going to read a few verses there. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you are entered in to their labor. Men are lost and without hope. The fields are white unto harvest. There are those that will be saved if they hear the gospel. Just keep writing those estimates. Just keep on sharing the story. There's plenty that who need harvested. There's plenty who need harvested. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Jesus said, here's the problem. There's plenty to be harvested. There's plenty that need to hear to the news, and they're going to respond to the news. They're going to respond to the salvation message when they hear it. They're going to hear the message, and they're going to say, that's what I need. I need Jesus. I must accept Him as my Savior. I must be born again. And I'm not born again, so I want to receive Him as my Savior that I might be born again. And when I die, I'll go to heaven. Here Jesus said, here's the problem. Matthew, the 9th chapter, and look at verse 30. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I'd have thought that he'd have said to them, well, you can't be healed because you don't have enough faith. I'd have thought that he would have said to them, well, you can't be healed because you got sin in your life. And the fact is that every one of them had both. And yet the Bible says, I hope I stepped on some toes there, I meant to. Jesus healed them all. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The problem is laborers. So we've recognized the problem. Secondly, we need a strategy to deal with the problem. So I want to give us some ideas about that. First of all, I think that we need to identify our prospects in order to instigate our strategy. Identify those. Who is a prospect? Well, in my book, a prospect is any person who is not attending a Bible-believing church. any person who is lost. And there's folks that are saved, they're outside of this church for sure. The Lord had some unlikely prospects, didn't he? We done talked about one of those. The woman at the well of mixed race. She'd had five husbands, currently living with a man that she was not married to. A man who lived in the graveyard, who never wore clothes, who would scream and cry and cut himself. The Gadarene in Mark, the fifth chapter, an unlikely prospect, wouldn't you think? I remember visiting the jail in Pocahontas, and where we would go to a back room, and they'd let anybody come back and to the service that wanted to come. We passed by a cell, and there's a woman in the cell, and the jailer said, you want to go in and visit with her? I'd already heard the story on her. She about beat a state trooper to death with an arrow off the back of his car. And I said, no, I don't think I want in there with her. And he said, well, she said that Jesus was in there. And I said, well, she got Jesus in there. She don't need me. Two men of the Roman mafia, Zacchaeus of Jericho and Matthew. Zacchaeus was up a tree when he found Jesus. Peter, James, and John, about their business of fishing, when they found Jesus. We have to recognize the problem is that people are lost. So we have to identify our prospects. I could try a little strategy on you today. If you had a, you can just do this in your mind. If you have a, in your mind, take out a blank piece of paper, get your pencil in your, whatever hand you use, and write down the name of one lost person that you know. It might be at work. It may be at the feed store. It might be at Walmart. It might be in your own family. Write down the name of one person in your mind. Write down one person that you know. So you've got the individual. You've got the contact to make. So what are we going to do with that? We've identified our prospect, so let's instigate our strategy. Let me give you some pointers. Number one, pray for the person. What has happened to praying in the church? How come people quit praying? I mean, maybe they're praying at home. I don't know, but people just about quit praying in the church. Having prayer meetings. I was delighted that Dalton announced there's going to be a prayer meeting Wednesday night. Pray for the person. Secondly, make contact with the individual. Try to open the door for a spiritual conversation. Number three, build a relationship. And sometimes you'd have to, your skin has to be a little thick sometimes to build a relationship with people. You know what an EGR is? You know what an EGR is. It's extra grace required in their life. And when your prospect is an EGR, you have to be kind of thick skin. When I first started at Tuckerman, First Baptist Church, they had a meal And I began to meet the people. And sitting at the same table with us was a young mother and two children. Got to know her a little bit. Her name was Debbie. She had a son named Jason, and what was her girl's name? Tony. Jason and Tony. And I got to know them a little bit, and I began to ask her about her family, and she had a husband at home who didn't come to church. His name was Zeke. Anyway, I started building a relationship with Zeke. And in order to do that, I had to lay on my back under his old truck for about 3 nights and help him put a motor and transmission in. But anyway, we'd try different strategies to get Zeke to come to church. We've always had folks in our home. Gwen's good cook, can you tell? Anyway, we would invite the family to come and eat with us on Sunday. We thought that would make him feel guilty. He would come to church and then come to eat. You know what that rascal would do? He would not come to church, but he would come and eat. Church was over, he'd come and eat. He and I were in a serious conversation about his own relationship with the Lord one day, and I said, Zeke, I want you to come to church. He said, I know you want me to come to church, but I'm not coming. What do you do with a strategy like that? Well, you pray, right? You get to church praying. But when God moves on people's hearts, see, I can try to, and I do, try to guilt people into coming. You know, if you don't come to church, probably your mama wears some kind of combat boot or something or other. I'd try to guilt people into coming to church, but God convicts people into coming. He speaks to their heart, and they come. Anyway, he came, got saved, ended up being one of the deacons in the church. Build a relationship. Keep the mission statement alive in your own church, because most mission statements has to do with evangelism, whether it's this church or some other church. Our mission statement here at Osage is this: to reach the lost and edify the saved through a diversity of ministry to all ages, putting an emphasis on family and being kid and youth friendly. We need to work our strategy. There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. Everybody who lives around us says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships, they don't sail by this way anymore. Ain't no use it standing around. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Oh, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse. I like this next line, Matt. And from the rocks of sin, He has shown the light around me, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Let me ask you, can I be personal with you today? Let me ask you a very personal question. Have you seen the lighthouse? Has there been a time in your life that you heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and you responded by being born again, by inviting Him into your heart as personal Savior and allowing Him to change your life? Now, I want to qualify what I'm getting ready to say. It's not the church's job to clean people up. That's Jesus' job. Now, I realize that what we have to put some guidelines on our membership. I'm not saying open the doors of membership to anybody. I'm not for that. I believe that people have to prove that their life's been changed. I don't want anyone making any kind of decision about my spiritual life that's not saved theirself. So I know that there has to be some guidelines about who joins the church. But the church's main job is not to clean them up. Let Jesus clean you. Us catch them. Let Jesus clean them, and He will. And you know, most of the time He doesn't do it overnight. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. Mirror of His word, reflections that I see, make me wonder why He wouldn't just give up on me. But I'll be perfect just according to His plan, fashioned by the masters of His hand. Help me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. Let's stand together. Matt and Pam's going to come and help us. I want to give you an invitation today to set Christ as your Savior. Maybe it's a recommitment on your part. Maybe God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship. Maybe you've been saved. You've never scripturally been baptized. I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision today. You can come to me. You can come to this altar and pray, or these steps. There'll be somebody come and pray with you and talk to you about your need if you want to talk about it. As we sing, you come. Would you trust Him as your Savior today? forever. Isn't that right? Is that right? You sang that and mean it. I hope you'll stay and eat with us. We've got lots of food. And it'll be a good fellowship time. We just get to spend a little more time together. So please stay and have lunch with us. Rog, would you go to the microphone and dismiss us, please, and ask the blessing on the food.
Great thing, Father. We just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the word we've heard. Lord, and just we put feet to this strategy that we've heard today. Lord, that we go out and further your kingdom. We just ask you to be with us now as we go and take this meal. We ask your blessing on the food, nourishment of our bodies. Lord, we ask this in all of Jesus' precious name. Amen.